reconvene in the Neighborhood Redevelopment Agency meeting.
So moved.
Second.
So we have a motion by Greg, second by Michelle. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. I failed to mention we do have the mayor and Councilwoman Larson on Zoom. So. Okay, who's taking this?
The first item is a public hearing related to the Tech Ridge Community Development Project Area and the amended project area plan and amended project area budget. And Jason, you're going to be presenting this item.
Yeah. If I could, if we could pull that up.
Here you go.
This one, right?
Yes. Yep. You could put it on the slideshow. Maybe in that point. Just a little bigger for everybody. And then just push it. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, good evening. I'm Jason Birmingham. I'm with LRB, Public Finance Advisors, Lewis Robertson and Birmingham. And we're the financial advisor to the City of St. George and also the Redevelopment Agency. I thought it would be appropriate before you go into your public hearing tonight for the Board of Trustees of the Redevelopment Agency, I prepared kind of just a quick overview of what would be the discussion point tonight relative to the plan, an amended plan and an amended budget. So, as noted, leading up to this public hearing, there are several requirements, one of which was a minimum of a 30-day notice that was provided to all the property owners within the Tech Ridge Community Development Area, as well as each and every one of the taxing entities that levies a property tax. So that would include the county, the school district, the city, yourself, the Water Conservancy District, and also the Mosquito Abatement District. It duly notes that there is an amended plan and budget, which I wanted to review quickly tonight. It has been available for this full period of time, the 30 days, in order for those of the public who have interest to examine and look at and read the proposed amended plan and budget. There has been a lot of effort that has gone into these amendments, primarily working with the Redevelopment Agency and the City Council, but also the other taxing entities. We've had lots of good dialogue with the school district, the county, and each and every one of the other taxing entities. So what we're proposing tonight in this amended plan and budget is representative of those discussions, and we believe that the other taxing entities are very supportive of where we're at this point. So my purpose tonight, again, just to set up the public hearing that you'll go into, is to kind of give a high overview of the project amendment to the plan and to the budget. Just some quick background. Again, this project area originally referred to as the St. George Airport Community Development Area was created in 2008, and at the time it adopted a plan and a budget. So that was how that project was created, by virtue of the plan and the budget. What we're doing tonight would be to amend that 2008 plan and budget. The 2008 plan contemplated a heavily residential-oriented development, primarily single-family homes up there. We estimated at the time that that would increase taxable value up there in the amount of approximately $450 million is what was estimated in the previous plan and budget. Tax increment for the benefit of the public, tax increment has always been a critical component for the plan implementation and the budget. Very quickly, tax increment would just be the difference between the property taxes collected at the base level, which at the time it created the base level, there was no real meaningful tax value to the taxes that then would be created by virtue of the development that you've seen up there. And so it's that incremental difference of the property taxes which is considered tax increment. In order, in 2008, it was identified in order to develop the infrastructure of a fairly underutilized or underdeveloped piece of land up there, tax increment was necessary. Originally, the CDA comprised of 355 acres. As we went back and discussed and worked with school district, county, and others, they determined that keeping it with the same footprint is the right way to approach it, and so it's being proposed to be kept at the 355 acres. The following changes are kind of the main components that I wanted to mention relative to what has been noticed and what's been provided to the public. First of all, the plan has been modified. It's a greater density-oriented plan, mixed use, and much more of a focus on technology, office, retail, and commercial-oriented master plan that is significantly different than the 2008 plan. We're currently estimating in the plan that it would generate over $1.1 billion in new taxable value within this project area. The second major component that's being amended is to provide greater flexibility for the tax increment. There were provisions in the previous plan that didn't allow for certain modifications and the ability to have some of the flexibility that is proposed in this amended plan. So that I'll address just a little more here in just a sec. The budget, also in 2008, part of the implementation of the project area, contemplated a $25 million tax increment cap amount. So in essence, it was a budget amount set aside for the redevelopment agency to put into infrastructure. As I mentioned, what we found constraining about the 2008 budget included, one, the 20-year period. It only allowed for a 20-year collection period of increment. It also was terminating as of December 31st of 2035, which we're well into the 20-year period and only have about 11 or 12 years left. And so that was something that this amended plan is reflecting, is to modify that. The last component that was constraining was the inability to kind of match the project development, the absorption, the phasing of when we anticipate the various components of development to occur up there. We didn't have a phasing or a tranche approach, and so that's what the amended plan also considers. As you can see, I'll just mention quickly the three tranches. I'm referring to those as phases, but they would be specific to each parcel or property identification number or parcel, where each of those would be considered to be a part of one of the tranches. So they wouldn't be, one parcel couldn't be in tranche one, two, and three. It could only be in one of them. Once it's triggered, then the 26-year period would start, and it would have a finite amount of not only the revenue that could be generated, but also the period of time. It's also bound by a termination date that moves to 2055, where before it was 2035. Now, that's an important provision of the amendment that we have talked with the taxing entities. We've had quite a bit of discussion with the county, the school district, and others, and they felt comfortable, provided we had the, you know, both the cap amount so that we couldn't go over a certain dollar amount, and also the maximum number of years of the 32 years. So that's part of the amendment. Because the development has grown and certainly a lot more dense in terms of development and economic value, We've also seen the public infrastructure costs increase. And so the maximum cap is also being amended in this plan to go up to $50 million instead of the previous $25 million. The last consideration here is part of the amended plan, and it is an important consideration. As we met with the school district, they have a policy, and their policy really focuses on job creation and those types of economic development assets to be encouraged or incentivized. Residential, although obviously it's a component of growth, they have a policy that they don't provide tax increment to those types of projects. And so as we work through the amendment, we did have to talk about ways in which we might be able to accomplish this mixed-use project. And what we concluded, and school district was great in helping us find a solution there, and certainly the staff was critical in making those really concessions, but also looking at various ways to do it, was the school district said, we'll do this project, we'll agree to it, but we don't want to participate on residential. But we recognize that you're a little bit behind the curve because of the timing. So we're willing to participate on residential. We were already going to participate through 2035 based on the old plan. They said, we'll extend that and go through 2040. So tax year 2040, which is payment year 2041. And they said, we'll even participate on the Black Ridge Cove component of that. So they said, we'll actually do the 75% for that period of time all the way up to 2040, 2041. But once we hit that, we will only participate on the commercial. So only the commercial development that will go. And we've worked through how we're going to, manage that and administrate that. But that was a concession that did reduce a little bit of the dollars, but not as significant as we thought it might. In fact, it really allowed us to hit all of the objectives that we wanted to, and we were able to make it work. And so that is part of the amendment, just so you're aware of that concession, and I think it was a good solution that was really, staff and Brent Bills and others at the school district who came up with a solution there. This is the plan document, just the cover page, and this is what's been available. This is the picture, if you will, or the illustration of the 355 acres where Black Ridge Cove also, I guess, exists down here as well, with some development that's already occurred. This is an old map. There's obviously other development that has happened up there since then, but it's depicting the idea that 355 acres stays the way it is. We're not trying to amend that. We did have discussions over the past year or so of maybe making it smaller, taking out Black Ridge Cove, but ultimately all the taxing entities felt like this was consistent with what their vision was and plan, and with the concession the school district made on the residential only for a period of time and then commercial, they felt comfortable with that. This is part of the plan. It's just an excerpt from it, but I just wanted to point out again the three tranches, the 26 years, 75% with that termination date of 2055. The $50 million is the cap amount for the tax increment, and again, just restating that the county's participation is the 75% for that period of time, and then it will be commercial only.
Do the tranches themselves have any sort of financial cap?
No, okay. Not individually.
So technically, if the price was high enough for infrastructure in tranche one, like you could cap it out in one tranche?
Potentially, okay. Yes. That's a good question. I would indicate that right now what we're suggesting, what we believe will be the first tranche, will be all of the existing development that's in place, including the Black Ridge Cove, and maybe a couple of parcels that are imminent for development. That's what we view as tranche one, and I believe it's about 60 acres, give or take. And so tranche one would be about the 160 acres, and then there would still be that 200, a little less than 200 acres that would be put in the other tranches. But you bring up a good point. That might create enough, or potentially there might be only two tranches that get done or whatnot. But it does provide flexibility for the RDA to work with the development and the timing of it, and that was important, critical for us to have that flexibility. Did I address that? Okay. Part of the plan, part of the statute, I should say, requires that the plan address issues of benefit. And so we did it in 2008, but we were tasked to also update it for the 2023 plan. It's hard to see this, but I'll point that our current estimate, based on that $1.1 billion of value up there, would generate over $43 million. You can't see it because of this, but it's a little over $43 million of net present value tax increment. We're estimating that that could be more potentially, and so our budget actually has a $50 million cap. So to the extent that there are additional tax increment revenues above and beyond what we forecasted, we do have needs and we do have uses for those. Part of the cost benefit, though, was to look at over the period of time plus a reasonable time period after we've selected all the way through 63, and the project ends in 55. Whoops.
Yeah, touch screen.
Sorry about that. We do look at, and this is aggregated, but this is all of the property tax, estimate, sales tax, transient room tax, be your bed tax, Class C road funds, energy sales and use tax, natural gas and electricity, and your total revenues over that period of time for the city is estimated to be about $85 million. We are, based on this proposed plan, giving up about $15 million in tax increment, but then there's also other costs related with general government, public safety, economic vitality, and housing. Each one of those categories have also been analyzed and looked at. And so the total cost of this for the city would be that $55 million. So the net benefit is just over $30 million. In the 2008 plan, it was the net benefit to the city was just under $5 million. So it's a magnitude of not exactly the $1.1 billion and the $400 million, but it's a significant amount. A lot of it relative to, we didn't necessarily have a hotel up there before. We do have a hotel programmed in and some other retail, which brings sales tax. So that's the
Jason,
main differences, yeah.
Sorry, how much did the estimated TIF change with the change in the school district?
It's about $2 million.
Went down $2
million. Yeah, about $2 million NPV, and, you know, it's not quite getting us to the $45 million. It's getting us closer to the $43 million. But we also looked at some of the comparables of the type of development they're building up there. And just between, not that this would play out over time, but just looking at 2021 values to 2022 values and looking at comparables, there was a huge increase in tax values, and that would change the $1.1 billion by potentially another 20%.
Sure.
So that's where we're looking at. Could the $50 million maybe be hit? Possibly, if those projects come in what we anticipate and they have some growth in it.
Which if we hit that, then really that it's negligible what the school district did, and it would be pretty much.
Then it would be negligible, but I think the comfort level is that the $50 million is the cap.
Right.
So even if we had years remaining, once we hit the $50 million, it would shut off. Likewise, if we didn't hit the $50 million and got to the end of the 26-year period or 32-year maximum period, it would also be retired, I guess. So I think they're looking at that just as a component of This just isn't open-ended.
Right.
We do have a very specific budget that does include $50 million, and the critical priorities are, I would say, roughly $45 million, so we're short about that $2 million based on this discussion. Good question. This is just more detail of how the benefits analysis is broken down in terms of the various components and what comes in. But it also does address the other taxing entities. Now, this is an important component in the amended plan, just like it was in the 2008 plan. The cities is the $30 million net, as I mentioned. Counties is also about $30 million. School districts, $106 million. Now, basically that's because their tax rate is significantly more than the other taxing entities. Now, the county, however, is generating quite a bit because transient room tax at 4.25%, restaurant tax is another component, so there's other revenues that would come into the county. And then $6.2 million and just under $350,000 for the mosquito abatement isn't a significant amount, but as required in the fiscal benefits analysis of the plan, there is the idea of a quid pro quo. Are we giving tax increment dollars more than what we anticipate we would receive in return in terms of fiscal input? So that table is also specifically outlined in the documents, but I wanted to pull it out here just so you're aware of it. The budget, we've already covered. One thing I did want to talk about is just table 4.2, which is the pass-through revenue. So the statute also requires, the plan also needs to address, or excuse me, in this case, the budget needs to address what the 25% amount equates to. Because 75% would go to the RDA. What's the 25% amount that comes through, as well as 100% once the 26 years, you know, have expired? And this is just representative of what those would be. So the county, $1.6 million, $21-plus million for the school district, the city, $2.3 and $1.2, and just under $100,000. That would, what would pass through. Now, the base year value, it was a little over $1 million of tax value, and it generated $18,000, if that was the total amount that it was generating. So significantly more, just the pass-through, than what is received in the base year value.
How is the 6% calculated for your NPV?
It's calculated on a cash flow basis. So is the question, why did we use 6%?
You know, the hurdle rate, yeah, you know, the 6% that you're tying the NPV to.
Yes. The 6% was really the notion of the idea of what public infrastructure costs. One of the, I think one of the components that we use to use that is probably what a tax-exempt bond rate would be for like a public infrastructure district or a TIF bond. So the 6% was based on that. The 2008 used a 4%, if you recall.
Yeah, with the bond market changing.
The bond market was different at that time. So that's another component I should have addressed when Danielle, when you asked your question of what if this, I think that's another factor that if we were in a different interest rate environment, that the interest rates go down, then we might get to the $50 million a lot quicker. The way the interlocal agreements are structured is we're going to have a look-back provision to really look at what the interest rate or what the discount rate should be used in order to come up with the net present value.
Oh, so that can be adjusted at some point in the future if things get more favorable.
Yeah, now one of the things that probably premature tonight, but what has been talked about is how do we get the infrastructure in sooner rather than later, and whether or not we monetize that quicker here in the near future. If that were the case, then we might already have an established rate by virtue of what that is. Mm-hmm. So, for another discussion, but I know that this council has talked about the possibility of how do we get the infrastructure in there sooner. That addressed that question.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, thank you.
Here, in the actual budget itself, there's a much more detailed accounting of each one of these areas, but these are the broad categories of how the tax increment would be used. There is project area administration built into this. There is business incentives, the idea of maybe specific tenants or uses that might come there, that this would afford the RDA the ability to incentivize those. But most of it you can see come in the form of public infrastructure. So roadway improvements, parks and trail improvements are the majority of most of that. The other monies was the additional needs that we had, but it was more than the 45 or the 43 million. It's what got us to the 50 million. But the plan still kind of was able to be executed if we could get the 45, 43 million. This additional money, if we don't get it in tax increment, will be a question of, do those amenities just get left out, or do we figure out a different way to put some of those amenities in? There is a detailed, I don't know if you wanted to necessarily review that, but
Table 6-2 details it out. It's a little more detailed than what we've covered with the council in prior meetings. But basically what it shows is that the $30 million that the developers requested as part of the CDA that we'll do through later development agreements, it just shows the detailed projects that would make up the $30 million. And the remaining $20 million is items that would be reimbursing the city directly, like for the utilities, for the East Access Road, for the RDA administration. We included 5% for business incentives and then 5% for affordable housing. And I think what we heard last time from the council was that infrastructure was the priority, and that if we generate more than the $43 million, then we could have funds for business incentives and the affordable housing component. And so that's just, it's just a 6-2, it's just a more detailed break out of that table we discussed in prior meetings.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate that. This is the second to last slide, but just wanted to point out that in the document there is a comprehensive, detailed multi-year tax increment budget. So all the numbers that I've referred to are really based on this comprehensive spreadsheet that includes what's the tax value, what's the timing and absorption assumptions, what's the net present value discount rate that we're using. All of it comes by virtue of the components that go into that. And that is also part of the amended plan and amended budget, and has been available for those that might be providing us public comment. The last thing I'll just cover is what action items. First and foremost, a public hearing is necessary. So that's what we've noticed, that will need to be opened and receive public comment. What after the public hearing can happen, we have on the agenda tonight is two items for the redevelopment agency and one item for the city council. Two resolutions relative to the redevelopment agency. One would be consideration of adopting a resolution approving the amended project area plan, as I just reviewed with you in summary. Second would be a resolution approving the amended project area budget, which I also reviewed with you. Because the RDA is not a land use authority, the statute does contemplate the city council would also, by ordinance, adopt the and ratify what the RDA adopts in terms of the amended project area plan. So that would be after you dealt with the first two items in the RDA, then you could take those actions in the city council. But based on these three action items, this would put us at a point where we have it reinstituted. It's reclassified with these terms and conditions in place, and it would allow us then to go through the interlocal agreement process with each of the other taxing entities, which we've already had significant dialogue with. We've shared form copies of those interlocal agreements, etc., and so we're well on our way to getting those approved. So with that, I think that's the last thing I had. I'm happy to address any questions.
Hey, so can we note the revisions real quick too?
Oh, sorry.
So I'm sure, yes, the council noticed that on the plan and budget it said as of notice date September 25th, but then also said revised date is October the 18th and October the 21st. What happened was we noticed the original version, and we had some basically clerical corrections that we made after the fact. We had some number corrections. We added some narrative on the Black Ridge Code, but all just clerical changes in nature. So we just wanted to note that as well. That's why you see there's a revision on both of those documents.
Yeah, just the cover of both of them does have the subsequent revisions. We also have a red line copy and a clean copy of both. Those have been available for inspection as well.
Everybody clear on that? Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Jason before we open the public hearing? Is there a specific time that we had to? It's 5:30.
No, we're good.
Okay. Okay, if there's no other questions for Jason, we'll go ahead at this time and open the public hearing related to the Tech Ridge Community Development Project. So this is a public hearing, so if there's anyone here that wants to say anything. Oh, okay. Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing then, and then come back to you as members of the RDA for, I guess, item number two, right? Okay. Which item number two is to consider the resolution authorizing and approving the amended project area plan as the official plan for the Tech Ridge Community Development Project Area and related matters.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second the motion.
You read it.
Okay. Is that okay? Okay. So we have a motion from Danielle and a second by Greg. Any discussion on that? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Roll call.
Aye.
Yes. Yes.
I apologize because I'm not practiced to this. This is a roll call. It's a resolution requiring a roll call. So we'll start with Danielle.
Danielle Arkin, aye.
Michelle Tanner, aye.
Greg MacArthur, aye.
Jimmy Hughes, aye. And on Natalie, are you there?
Natalie Larson, aye.
Thank you. Motion carries. And next is a motion on the resolution. Let me read it again.
Sure.
authorizing and approving the amended project area budget for the Tech Ridge Community Development Project Area.
Jimmy, just to clarify, is the mayor a board member of the RDA? If so, she needs to also make a motion.
Michelle Randall, aye.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Okay. Now item number three.
So moved.
Second.
So we have a motion by Danielle, second by Michelle Tanner. Any discussion? All in favor, this is also a roll call. It's a resolution. So, also roll call, starting again with Danielle.
Danielle Arkin, aye.
Michelle Tanner, aye.
Greg MacArthur, aye.
Jimmy Hughes, aye.
Natalie Larson, aye. Michelle Randall, aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
I feel like we should have a little party.
Yeah. sorry to make that so clunky.
Seems like there's not a lot of discussion, but this has been in discussion for 2 years. So we know this one. We've all been through this one very heavily.
We have. So, is there anything else on the RDA agenda then? None?
No.
So then I would be looking for a motion to adjourn from the RDA.
Make a motion to adjourn from the RDA.
Motion by Greg, second by Michelle Tanner. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.